Moderna shares jumped about 70% in pre-market trading after a phase 3 trial showed a personalized mRNA cancer vaccine meaningfully reduced melanoma recurrence. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan, and this show is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Today's date is August 19th, 2026. That stock pop and the science behind it are where we start. NASDAQ plans to expand U.S. equities trading to almost 23 hours a day, 5 days a week by December 6, 2026, adding an overnight session from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. Eastern. The exchange says the regular 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. session will remain the price-setting market, while the overnight rules will exclude market orders and cancel orders left open at 4 a.m., so this isn't simply always on with the same mechanics. Traders on the Wall Street Bet subreddit flagged the move as a chance to chase global news, while some market structure experts warned it risks turning parts of the market into a gamified, lower liquidity playground. Watch how brokers and market makers price the extra operational cost, because liquidity and best execution obligations will determine whether overnight trading helps or just fragments price discovery. A viral campaign calling itself Deflock America is urging people to target pole-mounted license plate cameras on Halloween night, October 31st, and organizers have even built crowdsourced maps of camera locations. The cameras in question automatically read plates and create searchable vehicle location histories used by law enforcement. Critics point to misuse, surveillance normalization, and weak legal safeguards, while the company's CEO has urged political action and warned against vandalism. This is worth watching because it's where online virality meets real infrastructure. If the movement grows, it will force a hard local debate about contracts, oversight, and whether municipalities pause deployments to avoid confrontation. SK Hynix announced the buyback plan to repurchase and cancel 40 trillion won, roughly 28.6 billion, of shares after a nearly 10% slide, and also pledged to allocate more than half of free cash flow from 2025 to 2027 to shareholder returns. The company reported about 69 trillion won in net cash at the end of Q2, so this is a large capital allocation pivot that can be read as either confidence in undervaluation or an attempt to support the stock instead of boosting capacity. For investors and chip customers, the kicker is simple. Buybacks shift the conversation from capacity build to cash returns, and in an industry where memory supply matters to AI server buildouts, that trade-off will be one to monitor closely. Moderna and Merck released phase 3 results that, together, marked the first randomized late-stage proof that a personalized mRNA vaccine can lower recurrence for high-risk melanoma. The trial enrolled more than 1,100 patients and showed a sizable improvement in the time patients lived without the cancer returning. The companies described the vaccine as well-tolerated and said the combination reduced the risk of distant spread. Executives framed it as the first demonstration of efficacy for an investigational mRNA cancer treatment in a randomized trial, and the first time adding a vaccine improved outcomes versus Merck's immunotherapy alone. Markets reacted. Moderna stock spiked in pre-market trade. The numbers you read earlier reflect that, and the results set off a mix of scientific optimism and pragmatic caution across online communities and investors. Here's why this is a complicated win, not a champagne moment. The therapy is personalized. A patient's tumor is sequenced, unique mutations are selected, and individualized mRNA constructs are manufactured to train the immune system to find residual cancer cells. That process works in a clinical trial setting, where logistics and costs are underwritten, but scaling it to routine care means solving manufacturing throughput, turnaround time, quality control, and reimbursement across hospitals and payers. On the regulatory side, the path forward is clearer than it once was. Both companies will present fuller data at medical meetings, and regulatory filings are the next step. But regulators will ask for longer follow-up on overall survival, broader population evidence, and independent confirmatory studies before changing standards of care.
The Reddit reaction reflects the split. Some users on trading and investing communities hailed the stock move as a moonshot and a reason to own biotech, while posters in other forums urged caution about hype and the real-world limits of highly selected trial cohorts. That split is useful because it mirrors the actual risk profile. The underlying science looks promising enough to move markets and clinical practice if follow-up holds, but practical constraints, manufacturing costs, clinic readiness, and payer decisions will shape whether the therapy becomes a widely available option or remains an expensive specialty product for a subset of patients. My read is pragmatic. This is a milestone for mRNA technology and precision oncology, but the next year of regulatory scrutiny and scale trials will determine whether the benefit becomes standard care or a high-value niche. Now shift to a different kind of public health threat. Policy and staffing moves inside the Department of Health and Human Services under Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. have alarmed scientists and lawmakers, who argue that staff purges, program cancellations, and budget cuts have disrupted research across agencies, including the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, parts of NIH operations, and programs at the CDC. Congressional Democrats and medical organizations have publicly criticized the changes, saying they halted ongoing projects, laid off staff, and paused data collection, actions that critics say undercut evidence-based public health work that clinics and policymakers rely on. A federal judge has already blocked some of the secretary's vaccine policy changes, which opponents called a significant victory for public health and the rule of law. That intervention shows courts are now an active check in this particular policy clash.
Why this matters beyond headlines. The U.S. is already dealing with renewed outbreaks of vaccine-preventable diseases, including measles in certain regions. And weakening federal research capacity or pausing advisory functions doesn't only slow new studies, it degrades the institutional memory and data pipelines that clinicians use to detect and respond to outbreaks. Reddit commenters in technology and health threads voiced anger and cited burned-out hospital staff during COVID to underline those stakes. Among experts, the worry is less partisan slogan and more operational risk. If surveillance, training programs, and specialized research grind to a halt, the lag time to rebuild capability after a crisis can be measured in years, not weeks. Put the two deep threads together, and an important juxtaposition emerges. On one hand, private sector science is delivering a new therapeutic modality with near-term clinical implications. On the other, political decisions are reshaping the public infrastructure that evaluates, distributes, and monitors such innovations. That tension matters for patients and investors alike. Approvals and market access depend on rigorous evidence and functioning agencies, and public trust in vaccines and treatments depends on transparent advisory processes. The practical question for the months ahead is whether regulators and courts will create a stable path for promising new therapies while Congress and states restore or replace the programs experts say are needed to keep public health systems resilient. So ask yourself this: will the next 6 months show personalized mRNA vaccines becoming a scalable tool in oncology, or will regulatory hurdles in manufacturing realities keep them as high-value limited options? I'm Alex Morgan from Debug the Hype.